started off doing fingerstyle guitar, you know, American traditions, sort of blues and ragtime, and having a sort of pianoistic approach to the guitar, because I was a piano player originally, in which the sort of the thumb of the right hand replaces the left hand of the piano. So you boom deep, or like boom de boom de boom de boom de boom, all that stuff. And then the index and the middle finger kind of take up and do sort of rhythm and melody and things. You know, it was my way to kind of create a little bit of my own sound. And then when I discovered this African music, kind of exploded everything and caused me to kind of merge all this into my soupy little gumbo of sort of fingerstyle work, in which there's a lot of sort of emphasis on rhythm and polyrhythm and stuff like that. So Tattered Flag, the tune, comes out of that sort of approach where I'm kind of bouncing around, and definitely influenced in this case by a mix of sort of Congolese guitar and maybe some Afro blues, Afrobeat type stuff.
Nick, you've brought up your second album, it's called Back Road Carnival. Prior to the album, you spent three and a half years in Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you play blues, rock, folk, and we don't really associate a country like Ethiopia in East Africa with that sort of blues tradition.
Yeah.
So tell us what drew you to Ethiopia.
Well, it was despite myself. It was my wife who got a job there. We were always wanting to go to Africa. And she was just told me, you know, listen, let's go to Africa. I got this job in Addis. I'm like, Addis? That's not exactly where I wanted to go. I wanted to go to Bamako. I wanted to go to Kinshasa. I wanted to go somewhere with a good guitar tradition, right? And instead, I wound up in Ethiopia, and it was incredible. It was a total eye-opener, and it was unlike any other country I think I'll ever visit again. So I learned a lot. I learned all these traditional styles. I put two different bands together, and one of them was a little more traditional. It's called Damakase. In fact, in Ethiopia, we have this narrative here of Ethio-jazz, right?
Of course.
Mulatu Astake, maybe the pop version is Mahmoud Ahmed, all these different guys who come and tour over here. But there's a whole sort of heavy dose of real traditional music across the country, and each little town has been like sort of partially subsidized by the government or local areas to sort of support traditional music. And so I went on this recording trip with these guys. You meet all these people where they're all playing their sort of local instruments. There's sort of like this cultural policy to sort of put the krar, the masenko is this one-stringed instrument, like a violin, and the kibero, which is the percussion, and the washint, which is a flute. They put them all together and they sort of create these little local bands across. So everyone has their own little stamp on that, but it's sort of like they're all the same format with instruments most of the time, unless you go down way down south or something. They're not mountain people. They're not the Amhara or the Tigray people. They're different, and as a result, they get closer to sort of the Kenyan-style stuff. Real eye-opener. It was amazing. And so I learned some of the stuff. I played it on the banjo. I played a little bit on the guitar, frequently on the banjo, and this banjo gourd I have to kind of try to get closer to their sound. But then, you know, my approach is not to repeat what they do, just mix it all up with other things.
Hawk on a haystack, prisoner of hope, seeking his prize on the golden snow.
On your album, Back Road Carnival, we can't say there's a particularly East African sound on there. So what did you take out of Ethiopia, and perhaps in terms of the songs and the songwriting?
Yeah, right. So it's mainly the songwriting, because I think each album represents kind of 3 years beforehand. So in a way, this is all me getting into sort of African music, but really also the heavy dose of blues and American folk music as well. In terms of the actual songs, the second track on the album, Sell You My Soul, was directly influenced by this recording trip I went on where I ended up in the middle of nowhere in Ethiopia putting microphones in these huts, and this guy comes and tries to sell me his sister, and then I said no, and then he tries to sell me his other sister. And he was not joking. I was laughing it off. It's like, oh, he's a funny dude. But, you know, he hadn't seen that village. I don't think they'd seen Farangi, as they call us, white people, foreigners, for a long, long time. And he was trying to get some money out of it, and figured, hey, this is a good way to do it. These girls are doing nothing right now. And I think he was something the equivalent of like $500 is what he was asking for. Just for, and he was like, you know, making sort of rude sort of gestures, and it was this kind of absurd and yet horrifying moment, and then that triggered this blues tune, Sell You My Soul, which is kind of this giant metaphor on how we're all kind of ready to sell our souls in different ways, and this was an extreme version, but we all have done it in our own ways to get ahead.
Used to say there's some things money can't buy, doesn't mean I can't give it my very best try.
Let's say a word about a trip that you went on to Western Kenya.
Yeah.
You made a documentary about the few remaining guitarists who are playing a style known as Omutibo. Tell us a bit more about these guitarists.
Yeah, Omutibo is this old style of Kenyan guitar music that was influenced directly by the traditional music of the Luhya region of sort of Kakamega of Western Kenya. I think the founding father was George Mukabi. And he and his descendants and other people have taken on this tradition, but it's sort of started to die out now. His son is sort of one of the last really playing it.
What is distinctive about it?
So it's this finger-style tradition played with thumb and index with the right hand, and it's very driving, and it's interestingly syncopated, and sort of it sounds almost as if the guitar is really imitating a traditional instrument like the Nyatiti or something, which is also, I think, played more by the Luo people, but they have another one in the Luhya, I forget what they call it. So they're really imitating that traditional sound, but they've kind of modernized it a bit, having two vocals, a little bit of percussion, and kind of singing about sort of modern themes. And that's this. When I say modern, I'm talking about 50s, 60s, 70s, and now it's kind of dying out.
So these guys are, for the most part, in their 50s, 60s?
At least, yeah.
70s even?
Yeah. Yeah,
and their sons or daughters are not picking up
so,
on this tradition?
One of them, Shem Tube, who plays the Omutibo, he uses a flat pick, so it's a little bit different, but it's the same kind of concept. He also calls it Omutibo. He has 16 kids, I think, and his youngest son plays. Wycliffe, his name is. And he's great. None of the others play.
Did they teach you to play? Can you play?
I play it because of my interest in it. I've learned a few songs, and I have a new composition that'll be in the next album that will be based on the Omutibo sound for sure.
If we were able to play a little extract for our listeners, what would you recommend we play?
I would recommend a track by William Osale. It's called Usi Malize Mali.
Papa na mama, wote ni wasuri. Papa na mama, wote ni wasuri bwana. Wote ni wasuri bwana.
They sing in Luhya, so you have to kind of get someone who speaks Luhya to translate. But it's beautiful driving music. It just speaks to me in a deep way, and it's hard to know why. You know, a lot of times, you know, sometimes your music just speaks, you don't even know, you really don't know why.
Corey says, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me, Alice.
Kipata malu smali sena bibi yako bwana. Smali sena bibi yako bwana. Watu watacheka wewe. Watu watacheka wewe.
Uongo, kweli.
yako mtoto wa kwanza ndio party yako ndio party yako.